Hey, good morning. Hey, welcome. Have a seat. We're so glad that you're here with us this morning here at URA Community Church. My name's Ron, and I'm one of the pastors here. If I haven't got a chance to meet you, I hope I get to before the day is out, whether that's here right after the service, outside in the lobby or here in the worship center, or maybe it's that we all get to hang out together at the baptism today. And so if you haven't made plans to go to that, I hope you will before we get done here, that you'll go and just enjoy a meal with us and enjoy just celebrating what God is doing in some lives here at our church. And we just want you to be part of that, and we want to invite you to come join us. Now, we've been in a series called Who We Are. And if you're here for the first time, maybe you're new around here, we are a new church. We've kind of getting our feet under us. We've got to establish some foundations and some things that help us to understand who we are and where we're going. And so that's what we've been doing in this series. And so today we're going to kind of continue on with that. But one of the things that we've talked about is what the big church is. That's where we started, the Big C Church of Christ, not just here on this corner of Moss Springs Road, but what is the church supposed to look like? And we talked about that the church is supposed to be a bunch of people who have come to a place where they realize who God is, and they've acknowledged that for their life, and they're asking now, you know, what's next? You know, now what? Now what do I do from this point? And the church is a bunch of people who've come to that place asking, now what? Going out and finding a lot of other people to get them to ask the same question for themselves, now what? Well, what is it that I recognize about God, and what do I need to have in my life that He has for me? And so we come together and we're building this foundation of being part of that big church. We've got to ask that question for ourselves and then go and encourage other people to ask it for themselves. Now, we've talked about how that can be from one place asking, just recognizing, hey, I don't have a relationship with God, and now I know, I see what He has for me, so now what? Now what do I do with that? Or we come to a place where we've been in a relationship with Him for a long time, and we realize that there's more to it, and so now what? Those are the questions that we have to be asking within the church, and the church will be the place that we're able to come to ask it and to find answers for it as well. Now, when we started the series, we began looking at it from that big picture, but we got to bring it down to where we are. If you want to know why URA Community Church is here, it's here because it exists to help people develop a love for God, a love for others, and then a love for sharing the good news of Jesus. That we're here to love God. And we've got to develop that love. We've got to find out who He is and why we're to love Him. That's the thing we call worship, when we acknowledge who He is and then celebrate that in every area of our lives. And we've talked about that last week pretty much in depth. And then the second part of that is loving others. And that means that we don't just live in our community. We've got to be part of our community. We've got to recognize who people are and love them where they're at, and meet the needs that they have, whether it's spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, whatever it is, we need to be part of meeting those needs. And then we've got to love that mission of going and telling people who Jesus Christ is, being willing to show and tell them the things that He's done in our lives so that they can want to have that same thing for themselves. Now, each message in the series has been building on itself. Because the first week we talked about what the church is supposed to be. Then we talk about, you know, the first part of that for us being worship. And today we're going to dig down a little bit deeper. Because worship, we found out last week, is to be a craving for that relationship with Him. It's to be a desire, a hunger, to want to have more of Him in our lives and to acknowledge Him in everything that we do. Today is going to be about something that's really not so much that we have to work for, because it's really something that's built right into us. And that's this hunger or craving for community, to have relationships with other people, to focus on not just being here, but being part of our community. Now, how many of you remember a movie that came out about 14 or 15 years ago called Castaway? You remember that movie, Castaway, with Tom Hanks? That's been, seems like, just not too long ago, but believe it or not, it's been 15 years ago, right? So that makes you start feeling old when you were kind of like a kid watching that, you know, and that's how I feel. But we were, when you think about that movie, Tom Hanks' character, really, he finds out a lot about being alone and really that desire to have people around. You know, he becomes stranded on a deserted island after a plane crash, and he's there with just a few boxes from a FedEx plane, right? That's what he was on. And so he has a few boxes, and he opens, begins to have relationships with the boxes. They become people that he communicates with, and specifically one thing that he finds within a box, and it's a volleyball, right? You remember Wilson the volleyball, and he begins to have this really weird, freaky relationship with Wilson. It's kind of, you know, it's odd, okay? You just had to watch the movie for yourself. But he begins this relationship with this volleyball because he is made for community and relationships, and he doesn't have anybody else. And it's a great picture for us to be able to realize what that looks like in our own lives. For some of us here in the room, it terrifies us to be alone. Even those of us, I've told you before, listen, I can go shut the doors, close the windows, and I can hang out all by myself at home quite easily. That's kind of like my preferred place to be. But for some of us, even that have that kind of strong feeling about us, to be alone forever would not be a good thing. It just would be very uncomfortable because we need those relationships around us. Now, for me, I don't ever have to worry about being stranded alone anywhere. I could be alone, in the farthest part of the ocean alone, and all I have to do is begin a pretend conversation with my wife, Kelly, and my daughters will find me. They will. I know it. You know, some of your parents in here get it because you know that, you know, no matter what, they just kind of be in the middle of every conversation we have. And so we'd be able to find, they would certainly find me. But for those of us who need that kind of support and relationship around us, you know, this message is going to go deep for you because you understand what it's like to have that. And see, the reason that we don't like to be alone is because we were created for more. We were created for relationships. God created us to do just that, to be around and be in community with each other. If you read the Bible from cover to cover, it's a theme that weaves throughout it about God's love. And when you read that, the thing about love is it has to have an object. Love isn't just something that sits out there. It's got to be attached to something. And as you read the Bible, you realize that God's love, as it flows in and through the scriptures, has an object, and that object is you and me. It's his creation. He loves us. And so as we find that we're the object of his love, we also begin to understand that he created us in his image, and because of that, not only are we that object of his love, but we're also to be those that love too, that we're to love him, and we're to love other people, that we're to relate to each other in that way. Now, God made us relational because he wanted us to relate to him and to each other. And it's important that we do that. So here's the thing. When I get the sweat out of my eye, it just happens, doesn't it? So no matter, when we have it happen, when we realize that we're in this relationship with each other, that we're created to love him, to have that camaraderie, that companionship with him and with other people, we come and we then begin to look at things much differently. We begin to realize that there's something that we're missing when we don't have that in our lives. Now, this morning, I don't know what brought you here. You know, I look around the room, and there's a lot of familiar faces. There's a lot that aren't familiar. I don't know what got you here today, but the reality is as we come here, that we have to realize that there is a purpose for every single one of us. And that purpose is to love. It's to love God first, and to love others second. And maybe you came in here today, you're not feeling very loving. Maybe you came in here and you're just like, man, I do not want anything to do with this love stuff. You know, I don't want to love God. I don't want to love other people. I don't want anything to do with love. Let me just tell you, the reality is you're missing out on the very thing that you were created for. And so to come in and to be at that place, that's fine that you're there. But the truth is you're going to have to see that you got to go beyond that. That there is a reason that we talk about love in the church. There's a reason why it's important that we understand it, because we were created to have that. And God's love is there for every single person. The amazing thing about it, though, is that God's love isn't forced on anybody. He doesn't force his love on you. It doesn't force it on me, because if love is forced on somebody, that's really not love. That's slavery. Right? The reality is that's not freedom. But God gives us a choice to be able to accept his love and to give that love back. And so we have an opportunity to do that. So because we can give it and we can choose to give it and choose to receive it, it's something that we celebrate. It's something that allows us to experience life fully the way that he meant for it to be experienced. And so today, if that's you, if you're here and maybe you're just struggling with this whole thing of you just don't feel very loving, let me just encourage you. On the back of your connection card is an opportunity for you to speak to one of the pastors. And we just want to be able to have that conversation with you. We want you to be able to be honest with us and us be honest with you. And so today, if maybe that's where you're at in this relationship with him, that you just don't have what you would consider a loving relationship with God, but you'd like to talk about it, then please let us do that. Give us the opportunity to just sit down and talk about what's going on with you, and we'd love to be able to do that. But connecting with God is our main purpose. It's having that community with him, and that desire spills over into our existence of every other relationship that we have. Jesus was asked by those Christian leaders of the time who were trying to trip him up and were trying to get him to say something so they could condemn him with. They said, what's the greatest command? What's the greatest thing I should do? And Jesus said this: you love God first and you love others second. You love God first and you love others second. Love others as yourself. To make sure that you understand that. And he went on to add that everything about that we do, everything about us, everything that we do, then hangs on whether we get those two things right. That all the law, all the prophets, all the things hang on whether we love God first and love others second. You know, I think you get this deal of being able to have quality relationships is important and significant. I think we realize that God created us just for that. That's a pretty important thing in our lives. But you know what? If we took a poll in the room, now even though we all know it's significant that we have it, I think if we took a poll in the room, probably about 8 out of 10 people in the room would say they still want better relationships. If you didn't say you want better relationships, you would at least say that you want more relationships. And then, you know, some of you in the room might say that you want more, better relationships. And what you need is just an English teacher, okay? Just saying. But the rest of, but those of us in the room, 8 out of 10 would surely say that I want more relationships. I want better relationships. But I think about that, and I kind of put that into perspective of some of what we do every week. If that many of us, if 80% of us, and you need to know most statistics are made up on the spot, but 80%, including that one, but let's just go with it because it's true. If 80% of us want more relationships and we want better relationships, and every week we come into a room filled with about 200 people, and yet we come in with that desire, but we go back out with that desire, we're missing something, aren't we? Something's not right if we want more relationships, we want better relationships, and every week we have at least this big opportunity to have that, and we miss it. Something's not right. And so in instituting the church, Jesus gave us the cure for loneliness. He gave us the cure of being able to not have to worry about being alone wherever we are. He gave us the cure for not having to go through situations by ourselves, because he created an opportunity for us to always have access to relationships. We've been following the book of Acts. We've been kind of walking through that. And so today we're going to continue on. If you have your Bibles, your phone app, or your YouVersion Live, we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to actually read a scripture that we read last week. We're going to look at it from a little different perspective, though, today, and how it applies to us in this idea of community. And so if you have your Bibles, get there to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be reading in verse 42 and going on. So here's what it says. They devoted themselves, the believers, that's who they're talking about, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now, he's talking about here, we went through what devoted means, right? Last week, we talked about the fact that devoted means that you're persisting recklessly after something. You know, we used the word obstinate, and I'm not going to use it again today because we don't know what that means really. But the idea is that it's persist with reckless abandon, to go after something. And that's what the early believers were doing. We talked about how that applies to worship. Verse 43, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Hold on a minute. Seriously, think about what that means. Last week, we found out that 3,000 people accepted Christ and became believers in him. And so now you see the church, it's at least 3,000 plus, and they had everything in common. Really? I mean, we can't even agree on the color of carpet in our churches, can we? And you're just saying that they had everything in common, that it was all together? The reality is, it's not that they had all that stuff figured out. The reality is they had the most important thing in common. They had Christ in common. And listen, when we realize in the church that we have Christ in common, it's going to be amazing what the church will be able to do, because then we become into real community and we begin to serve out of that. So the important thing is to know that they had Christ in common. Verse 45, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Man, I'm okay with breaking some bread. I got that. I like that part. I like that. It's biblical, right? Verse 47, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Listen, they were in the midst of all of this, they were worshiping God for who he was. We talked about that last week. But the fact is that they came together not just to do that on their own, but they did it as a group. They did it as a community together. They got the fact that they had Jesus in common and that they wanted to learn more about him. They wanted to live the way he wanted them to live. They wanted to do the things that he wanted them to do. And for us in the church, we need to understand that the same thing that brought them together is what can bring us together. When you experience something as powerful, it's coming to a place of recognizing the fact that Jesus died on the cross and paid the price for your sins. And that by believing in him and confessing your sins to him, you're forgiven of those and you receive forgiveness for eternity because of his death, burial, and his resurrection. You're set free from your sins, and now the Holy Spirit has come to live in you. We talked about that last week. And this powerful thing happens that you're freed from the penalty of your sin. When something like that happens, that should bring us together like nothing else. There should be a unifying factor that brings us to this place that we've entered into a relationship with God, that God is now in us, and we can be with other people who've experienced the same thing. See, that automatically creates community. When we acknowledge that the same thing that happens to us when we accept Christ happened to every single other person that's happened to, that should draw us together like nothing else. Think about the groups that are joined together and tight. I think about firemen. Man, if you take a fireman from North Carolina and you let him run into one from New York, man, they're just back and forth. They kind of talk a lot, you know, a little different from each other, but they've experienced the same things. They've trained on all those things, and they've gone through a lot of things together. They've lost, you know, friends and in the line of duty. They've just gone through a lot of stuff together, but they realize it, and they're drawn together. You know, firemen from all over the country would be drawn together. I think about, you know, like nurses and EMTs. They're kind of like these groups that come together. Policemen are like that. There's all kinds of things that draw us together. You know, some of you got your jerseys on today. You're drawn together by a team. Some of you just have the wrong team, but that's okay. You know, so you're drawn together. Now, one of the things that really is kind of intriguing to me is this new group that they have these drones, right? Now, I know that's kind of weird, and I'm no pervert. I don't want to watch over anybody's back on their back porch or any of that kind. I don't want to do that stuff, look in their window. But I think that would be so cool to just fly one of those and look over. I want to get one in here so I can fly back and forth and just get this view from up above. It's just kind of cool to be able to do that, and you hear about that all over the place. But the things that draw us together are amazing sometimes. Just recently, I was able to kind of catch up with a lot of friends of mine that I played college football with. And we began to catch up on Facebook, and we're talking back and forth, and we're telling stories. You know, we talked about the times of having the bear crawl all the way up Christmas Tree Hill. Now, I don't know if you know what bear crawl is. It's when you get down on all four. And you guys have seen the Christmas Tree Hills, you know, up near Banner Elk and up in the mountains. Well, there was one right beside our practice field. And our disciplinary thing was we had to bear crawl up it, and you had to bear crawl back down it. All right, so there's a lot of eaten grass and, you know, face plants on the way back down that hill. And so we had that in common. So we're sharing those stories. We're sharing stories about the time where we went down to started out for practice. And as we're walking down, the sun is out and it's all clear and it's pretty. By the time we get down to the practice field, though, it's begun to get overcast. And they blow the whistle for practice, snow begins to fall. And by the time we finished practice, you literally couldn't see the path to get back to, you know, the clubhouse, the field house. You couldn't even tell where it had snowed so much on that. And we talked about that. And we've been talking about how that night, when all that snow fell, how we got into a big snowball fight with the rest of the campus. It was football players versus the rest of the campus. And we also talked about how we all ran from the police together that night, too. So that was kind of interesting. But it drew us together. We have this bond, you know, 25 years later that we still are talking about those same things, and it makes us together. One of the guys went on to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I remember watching them play, and it was like me playing through him because we were connected by experiences. Listen, if a bunch of guys can get drawn together and brought tightly together because of sweating and you know, tackling and all of that stuff, surely in the church, we should be able to be drawn together with the experience of recognizing that we've been freed from our sin and we've been forgiven and we've been set free together. Surely our salvation should draw us together, those of us that have come to that place of acknowledging what Jesus did for us and have experienced that moment, that we should be tight together. And it should draw us to the place where we recognize that no matter what goes on, no matter how, you know, whatever you think somebody's done or hasn't done or whatever that goes on, that within the church, we should be able to build a community that gets along and gets over some of the craziness that sometimes we get caught up on in the church. We should be able to recognize that we have things to celebrate together. You know, when something good happens for one of us, we should all be able to celebrate that together. I think of today at baptism. Man, we're celebrating the fact that somebody went from death to life, that they've recognized that they want to identify with Jesus, and they're going to symbolize that with the burial of this immersion under the water and back up, symbolizing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. They're going to celebrate that today. And we should go nuts when they come out of the water today. And so if you're not going to be there, I'm telling you, you're going to miss it. You might hear us, but you're going to miss it because we're going to be celebrating. But not only when something good happens, listen, when something bad happens, when somebody's hurting, we should hurt together. We should acknowledge that, and we should be able to feel that. And we should be able to minister to each other out of our hurts. And be able to help each other to go through and take next steps to get us out of those situations. Listen, when somebody's going through a difficult marriage situation, well, we shouldn't gossip about it. No, we should pray about it, and we should go lift them up and encourage them. We need to be able to, yeah, you can clap for that. That's good stuff. We got to be able to love each other through difficult times. That's what true community is all about. You know, often in the church, you hear the titles used, brother so-and-so and sister this and that, right? You know, brother on and sister Kelly. And we sometimes it seems really funny to us, especially in contemporary church, you know, because we try to be a little bit more hip than that. And, you know, don't call me Brother Ron because I got my shirt tail out, my sleeves rolled up. We can't do that. You know, we're too cool. But the reality is when you hear that done, when you see and somebody acknowledge someone in that fact, man, what an incredible thing that is. Because if you recognize what has been done, we truly all become heirs in our salvation. We become brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we think about community, when we think about being able to be together, the church should be the hub of what family really looks like, not just in our own families, but as we come together as one family. It should represent what true family is supposed to be all about. To be a place where we can fulfill the great commission of going and telling others about the good news, but then be also able to carry out the great commandment of loving God and loving others as ourselves. This place where we love people, regardless of where they are, what's going on, but within this community to love each other enough to care on every level. See, until we get the love right, between us, we can't do anything with it outside of here. Here's the point for the day, that the church is believers in community serving a community. The church is believers in community serving a community. We can't ever effectively reach our community until we begin to live in community. We can't be part of the community until we are a community, until we realize that we have to be the example, until we can go out of here and set it right and show people what it looks like, we can't be very effective outside of here. We got to be willing to come together to be able to carry the gospel to this community. God made us relational so that we could relate to Him, but also so that we could relate to other people. Listen, if you and I can't get along, how in the world can we show others what it looks like to truly be a family of God? How can we show people what that looks like? And too often in the church, we get so bent out of shape over the smallest things. People come and they say, you know what, I have to sit over here now. I can't sit on that side of the room because so-and-so sits over there. Like, listen, you need to get over that. The Bible's really clear how to fix that. You go to them and you fix it. You know, you get over it and you take care of it. And you work it out. We can't have division within this body, because if we're divided, then how in the world can we go outside and try to be united? We need to have the love and care for each other here so that we can go out and have the love and care for people outside of here. I'll applaud that. That's good stuff. See, the question that we find ourselves asking is, how do we become that community? How do we do it? How do we become the community that we're meant to be, to then be able to go out and minister to the community that we're a part of? How do we take it out of here? Well, the cool thing is we have this thing called Scripture. God laid out a plan for us on how to love each other and how to care for each other in this community to be able to then go and take care of that community. And I began to look up Scriptures for it. And I'm like, I'll get a couple. But, you know, as I kept looking, I kept finding another one. And I kept finding another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. And so after about 10 pages of Scriptures, I figured, you know what, I'll just read them all to you. All right, is that good? Well, y'all brought lunch, right? I mean, so it's good. So here's what, let me just begin to read, and I'll try to be done by 12. All right, so here it goes. Romans 15:7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 1:10, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there would be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. Romans 12:5. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Malachi 2:10. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why then are we faithless to one another, profaning the covenant of our fathers? Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:4-5, but let each one test his own work, and then the reason to boast will be in himself alone, not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. 1 Corinthians 12:25-27, that they may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Zechariah 8:16-17. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another and love no false oaths. For all these things I hate, declares the Lord. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. James 5:6. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Do I really need to go on? Yeah. Do you get it? You see, I could keep on going, but the reality is that God has made it very clear how important it is that you and I, as believers and followers in Him, get along. Amen. That we have true community among us so that we can then take it outside of here. Listen, the church will never be about four walls. We can never let it be just about us. But if we can't get it right, how in the world can we help others get it right? And so the truth is that God has brought us to a place that He wants us to be able to grow and understand relationship amongst us so that we can then share that with other people. If God's made it that important, shouldn't it be that important to us? To not let stuff simmer and soak and get divisive, but bring it to a level where we can discuss it and get over it and move on, even if we agree to disagree, that we can get together on the most important thing, and that's that people need Jesus. Listen, we may not do everything here that you like. We may not do it exactly the way that you would do it if you were making the decision. I just got to tell you, there's some things that we don't do here my way. It's not that I think it's the wrong way. It's just not my way. Because I don't believe it's the right way when it's always my way. I believe that we do things the way that it needs to be done as God leads us to be the church that He wants us to be. And so we're going to do things the way that He leads us. And so we can't get hung up on all those things. I can't sit around and worry about getting my way. I got to worry about the fact that Jesus wants us to take a message to this community and be able to live that out in front of them. But see, here's the thing. Here's what we can't forget. You know, God will hopefully will grow our church and we'll have more favor in the community. We'll be able to reach more people. And that's going to be amazing. But the thing is, it doesn't matter how small we are, how big we are. We can never lose the fact that we are to love others. We can't ever lose the fact that we got to focus and continue to love them the way that we've been loving them ever since we've been here. We got to continue on to reach people with the gospel. And listen, if we're going to get community right, this is where it starts. It starts with you and me. It starts with us focusing on Him. See, we talked about how week after week people come in here and they're lonely, and they go back out lonely. And so one thing we have to do here better is that we've got to make sure that we don't let people be lonely here, that we develop true relationships with each other. That we begin to not just smile and say hey and shake a hand, but that we begin to know people's names. And we begin to know who they are and part of and what their story is so that we can love them where they are and help them move to the next place that God has for them. So we have to have that community here first before it goes anywhere. So we're going to have to begin to look at things differently. We're going to have to begin to see people not the same way that we've been seeing them. We got to see them walk in the door, whether we know their face or we don't know their face. We just got to be able to go up and begin that conversation that takes the relationship deeper. See, if we're believers, we have something already in common. We have something to talk about. And so we should be able to do that with each other. If we don't get community right, I know I've said it a bunch, but if we don't get it right, then we can't show the world how to do it right. And so my challenge for you is this, that if we're going to exist and we're going to be here to be a community, serving a community, then it's got to start with us taking some steps outside of our normal routine. That means that we're going to have to go up to somebody that we don't know, and we're going to have to ask them to get and begin a relationship to get to know them. It means we're going to have to maybe go and just take somebody that you've never really hung out with and take them to lunch. Hey, here's an idea for you. I'm gonna get you started off right today. Today, you can take whoever you want to lunch with you on me. True deal. On me today. You just got to drive to Holiday Shores to do it. All right? I'm paying the bill over at Holiday Shores. So you get to take whoever you want today to lunch with you. You just got to take them there. Because we have to begin to build community. And so my challenge for you today, your next step that you're to take is to not just go back out the door like you came in today. But before you go out the door, you shake somebody's hand that you don't know, you ask them their name, and you invite them to go to lunch with you today or in the very near future. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it, right? That's a hard thing to imagine people being willing to step up and do. But listen, I believe that you guys get community. I believe that you understand it and you understand the need for it. It's been demonstrated here over the last several years as East Albemarle and as High Rock and now as URI, as we move forward into this new time, then we have to be willing to take this idea of loving others, especially the ones that we hang out with every week, got to take it seriously and begin to bond together so that we then can go out and serve the community the way that I believe we're called to do. And so if you're willing to take that next step with me and get to know somebody new and invite them to lunch, I'm going to ask you to check your connection card. That's a difficult step. That's not one we would typically want to try to ask people to do, but I'm going to be bold and just ask you to do it today. And if you're going to the baptism, I'm going to ask you to sit with somebody new. Don't sit with the same old group of people. Let's begin to build that community, and let's begin to build it the way that God has called us to do it. Maybe today you're here and you're like, man, I don't get this whole community thing. Man, I just came because somebody told me I had to come today. Well, listen, let me just say I'm glad that you're here. And the reality is that all of us are here for the same purpose, and that's to love God and to love others. And if today maybe you realize that you've been missing that love and you want that in your life, I'm going to encourage you today to make a decision to accept His love and His forgiveness and then begin to share that love with other people. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for today. God, I ask today that you take your word. God, as fast as we may have heard it read today, God, I know the power is still there. And that, God, that you want us to care about each other. That you want us to treat each other right. That you want us to do the right thing when it comes to our relationships. And so, God, I pray that as a church today, we begin to see each other differently. That we begin to see each other not as just somebody else who sits on the same aisle as me, but see each other as true brothers and sisters. God, for those that are here in the room that have never made a decision to accept you, to never become part of your family, then I pray in these moments that they would recognize the fact that you truly did send your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for their sins. That you allowed him to suffer and die there so that they could have the opportunity of forgiveness for their sins. And that in these moments they would accept that forgiveness. God, acknowledge your son Jesus and accept him as their Savior. God, for those that are in the room that have had that relationship for a long time, God, may we come to a place of deciding that it's time to live this out. It's time to be all that you've asked me to be, God. And so for that, I'm going to do everything that I can to love others that you've put me with here and to love others as I go out in the community. God, whatever the decisions are made today, may you encourage us, may you strengthen us, that we follow you and we do the things that you ask us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.